So this evening we'd like to look into the Old Testament book of Joshua, and we're going to just read a couple of verses for sake of time. It's good to be with you again, and also to be sharing with those at home by radio. Joshua chapter 20, just a couple of verses that we're going to read for sake of time. It's a short chapter, but we will be referring into it as we go along. The Lord also spoke to Joshua, saying, "Speak to the children of Israel, appoint for yourselves cities of refuge, which I spoke to you through Moses, that the slayer who kills a person accidentally or unintentionally may flee there. And there they shall be your refuge from the avenger of blood. When he flees to one of those cities and stands at the entrance of the gate of the city, declares his case in the hearing of the elders of the city, they shall take him into the city as one of them and give him a place that he may dwell among them. And then if the avenger of blood pursues him, they shall not deliver the slayer into his hand, because he struck his neighbor unintentionally, but did not hate him beforehand. And he shall dwell be in that city until he stands before the congregation for judgment, and until the death of one who is the high priest in those days. Then the slayer may return and come to his own city and to his own house, to the city from which he fled." I know that the Lord will bless his word to our hearts this evening. I believe that the message of the cities of refuge is a tremendous message. I've always enjoyed it. I've always enjoyed reading about it, because we see in it the fact that God makes provision. And God, though he may be as we know, he's a God of justice, and he cannot tolerate sin, yet we also see him portrayed here as a God of mercy, a God of love, and a God of grace. And he made provision for this, for the children of Israel, and he gave this to Moses. And Joshua was simply following through with what God told Moses to do, particularly in the case of those who, as the scripture says, kill someone accidentally. There was no premeditated murder. Now, in the law, God gave specific instructions for those who committed premeditated murder. But this was the case of an accidental killing. Someone may have been in the field. They were chopping down wood, and the axe head may have come off and struck the other person, or on a similar situation. And it's this that we speak about, or he speaks about, the cities of refuge. You read about this in Numbers 35, and also in Deuteronomy chapter 19. There are four things that I see in this passage regarding the cities of refuge. Number one, there was the divine provision. God said to Moses in Deuteronomy 19, he said that you are to have these cities of refuge. And it was a provision made, as we said, for those who killed accidentally. You see, under the law that was there, if you killed someone, the next of kin became the avenger of blood. And he could pursue that person, and he could kill that person. But here, God made provision for that. He made sure that there were those who killed accidentally. There was protection and provision. And he made a provision for these. And I want to say tonight that there is a provision made as we look into these cities of refuge. There is a provision made for the sinner to flee as well. Oh, praise God. The Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior of sinners, he is the one that you can flee to. I want to tell you, my friends, if you're here without Christ or listening to my voice tonight via radio, let me tell you something, that there is an avenger of blood, in a sense, that's on your trail. The devil is on your trail, and the devil would seek to destroy you. His whole purpose is to destroy people's lives and to carry them into a lost eternity. That's his purpose. But not only so, But there is the world's greatest detective is also on your trail. And the world's greatest detective always gets his man because the world's greatest detective is death. We've been reminded of this again and again. And the thing is this, we have to understand that it is appointed unto man once to die. And so you cannot evade the appointment with death. But God has made provision. Oh, praise God for the provision that He has made. Even though men are sinners, even though men are lost, and the Bible says we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible says there is not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. And the Bible says the soul that sinneth, it shall die. But yet God has made provision, divine provision. And I see in the cities of refuge a divine provision for the sinner, the guilty, to flee for refuge. I ask you tonight, friend, have you come to the city of refuge? Have you come to the Lord Jesus Christ? The song of that beautiful that we began the service with, would you be free from your burden of sin? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. My friend, do you know anything tonight of being free, having set free from the bondage of sin, from the enslavement of sin? There is refuge. There is a divine provision in the cities of refuge. Yes, praise God. And praise God, the cities of refuge point to the Lord Jesus Christ as the divine provision. The Bible says, for when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. The Bible says, but God commended His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, not good people, sinners, Christ died for us. And so, as the manslayer could flee to one of these cities of refuge, so praise God, there is a refuge tonight for the sinner to flee. He can be set free. He can be delivered from the as we call him, the accuser and the pursuer in your life. He can be set free and come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. But there's also divine protection to the scene. He had to come. Now he had to bring his case before the elders of the city. And if innocent, he was protected. This was not a place where those who had willfully committed murder could flee and escape a judgment. No. This was a place where the person who had killed accidentally, but he had to come and present his case to the elders of the city. And when it was shown that this was an accidental death, you see, he could come. There was protection. No, tonight again, I refer to the old hymn we sang at the opening of this service. I want to tell you, friends, there's protection in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's not only cleansing from sin, but there's protection. Because God says, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the Bible says we can have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. And the praise God, it comes through the Lord Jesus Christ. You'll notice that these cities were strategically located. There were three on the eastern side of the Jordan and three on the western side. As you know, 2.5 of the tribes settled on the eastern side of the Jordan. And God made provision on that side of the Jordan and then three on the western side of the Jordan. I'm so glad that the gospel of Jesus Christ is still being heralded forth throughout this land and throughout the islands of the Bahamas. Oh, I thank God that the good news of God's saving grace is still being heralded forth. Thank God the message is penetrating even into prisons and into places where you may not think it does. But there are those that are going even to these places and telling people of the Savior's love and a home above and a peace that they all may have. Yes, yes, the gospel is strategically being presented tonight around the world and today around the world. Thank God that there was divine protection. You know, also in the cities of refuge, there were no obstacles in the way. We read this in the references given earlier. First of all roads were to be kept clear. Those roads that led to the cities of refuge were to be kept clear. There were no obstacles on the way. If there was a stream or something, it had to be bridged. It had to be bridged. And there were also signs that pointed and said, refuge, refuge. Oh, I thank God tonight that I can stand here and I can point you, my friend, as a signpost, as it were, or a sign of the Lord saying, refuge is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. You can have refuge if you will come to Him, if you will receive Him as your personal Savior. Oh, no obstacles are in the way. You know, the biggest obstacle that a sinner has in coming to the Lord Jesus Christ is himself. The biggest obstacle most sinners have in coming to faith in Jesus Christ is himself. He begins to make excuses why he hasn't accepted Christ. And he starts pointing his finger at other people and pointing at hypocrites. Oh, this is a favorite tactic of those who are not saved. They look at hypocrites, and you know something? They look at hypocrites in the church, and they point to them, and they're hypocrites in every strata of society, but they never point to them. They go along with them. You may be doing this, my friend. There may be somebody that you're looking at, and instead of looking to the Lamb of God, you're looking to somebody else. And you look, and that's why you say, I'm not saved. And yet, there are hypocrites in your circle of friends. There are those who are not true. They're pretending. You know it. But you still associate with them. You see, the greatest obstacle, God has removed all the obstacles for a sinner coming to Him, to the Lord. There are no obstacles on the way of salvation. It's only man-made obstacles. There are those who come and say, well, you know, I'm as good as the next person. That's an obstacle, my friend, that you put in the way. There are those who say, well, you know, there's something I must do. I can work my way to heaven. The Bible says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy has saved us by the washing of regeneration and by the renewing of the Holy Spirit. The Bible says it is by grace that we're saved through faith, and that not of ourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Divine protection. God offers you, my friend, divine protection tonight, to be cleansed from your sin. If you've never received Christ, then you need that. He's made divine provision. And I want to tell you, upon the authority of the Word of God, there is divine protection. Divine position. As I mentioned already, there were 6 cities of refuge. 3 on either side. 3 in either side, and they were strategically located on the east side, 3 on the west side of Jordan, 3. There were 2 in the north on either side, 2 in the central, and 2 in the south. So there was no excuse for anyone to flee to the nearest city of refuge. Just think of the names. You see them in verses 7 and 8. 7 and 8. There was Kadesh. Kadesh. The word suggests or means sanctuary. Sanctuary. In verse 7 of Joshua, they appointed Kadesh in Galilee, in the mountains of Naphtali, or Mount Naphtali. Sanctuary. Oh, praise God. Praise God. That's a place of shelter. A place they could flee to. Have you come to the Lord Jesus Christ? I want to tell you something, friends. When you come to the Lord Jesus Christ, you come and find a sanctuary in Him. You find a refuge from sin. You find a refuge from the things that bear you down, particularly the things of sin. You can find the Lord Jesus Christ as a place of refuge. Bible says in Hebrews 6:18 that by 2 immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold of the hope set before us. Those of us who know the Lord Jesus Christ, we can say, yes, praise God, He is our Kadesh. He is our sanctuary. He is our place of refuge. There is Shechem. It means shoulder. It's also a place of safety, a place of protection. You remember? In the threefold parable the Lord Jesus told of the lost sheep, the lost silver, and the lost son in Luke chapter 15. When the shepherd went out to seek the sheep that was lost, the scripture says he put it on his shoulder, perhaps over his shoulder like this. And most likely, I like to think of it with the head of the sheep hanging down and feeling the heartbeat of the shepherd. But the shepherd's, it's a place of strength, the shoulder. It's a place of security, the shoulder. And you know, this is a wonderful thing to think about, that there is a place in the Lord Jesus Christ. He puts his sheep on his shoulder. And you know why? Because we can hear his voice. And we can feel his heartbeat. Oh, have you come to the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you come to him? It was located also on the in the tribe of Manasseh. You know, the Bible says in Deuteronomy 33 and verse 27, the eternal God is thy refuge. And underneath are the everlasting arms. We can also say with the words of the psalmist in Psalm 46, God is our refuge and strength. A very present help in trouble. But then we come to the third one. It's Hebron or Hebron. It suggests company or it suggests fellowship. Fellowship. In verse 7. It says in Kiriath Arba, which is Hebron in the mountains of Judah. It was also located on the western side of the Jordan and in the southern part of the land. And oh, I'm telling you, my friend, it's so good to know. It's so wonderful to know that that when you come to Christ, you've been brought into fellowship with him. The Bible tells us that we are brought into fellowship. You see, this is a wonder of salvation. This is the beauty of salvation. Some people have the peculiar idea that when they come to Christ, you know, that the Christian life is a dull, dreary life. I want to tell you, friends, tonight, it's an exciting, wonderful life because we find in the Lord Jesus Christ, we find in him our sanctuary. He puts us on his shoulder and we have fellowship with him and fellowship with the triune God and fellowship with one another. Fellowship with one another. The scripture says in 1 John. It says in 1 John chapter 1 in verse 3. It says that which we have seen and we declare unto you that you may also have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and his son, Jesus Christ. You see, my friends, as sinners, you're at a distance. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2. It describes a sinner as being dead in trespasses and in sins, walking according to the course of this world, the lust of the flesh and of the mind and so on, children of wrath. Then you come down later on into verse 12 and it says they're without Christ in the world. It says also being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and without God having no hope in this world. What that's, my friend, tonight is your position if you do not know the Savior. But you see what the difference it is when you come to the Lord Jesus. Oh, praise God. You will be brought to the place of the sanctuary, Kadesh. You'll come to the place of Shechem, the shoulder. And you'll come, my friends, and be brought into fellowship with the God of the universe. But then quickly, there is Beza. Now we go to the eastern side. And Beza means stronghold. I think of a verse as one of my favorite verses. Nahum 1 and 7, the Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knoweth those who trust in him. Stronghold, eastern side of the Jordan, and it's assigned to the children of Israel for that side. And praise God, it was in the southern part. The Bible tells us there is safety in the Lord Jesus Christ. Hebrews 7:25 says this, wherefore he's able to save them to the uttermost, literally to save completely. Them that come to God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. In the epistle of Jude, verse 24, you know, one of the objections that some unsaved folks say to me and to other preachers, and they made this excuse over the years, you say, you know, I'm afraid if I come to Christ, I'm not going to hold up. Well, my friend, I want to tell you something. If you come to the Lord Jesus Christ, he does the holding. Listen to what Jude says. Jude says in his epistle, he says these words, that he is able to keep us from falling and to present us faultless before his presence with exceeding joy. Oh, you can find him as your beza, your stronghold. The Apostle Paul could say, who shall separate us from the love of Christ, and shall tribulation and distress, and nakedness and peril and sword, and he goes on these things. He says, no, in all of these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Oh, my friend, tonight, we can rejoice. I say to my Christian brothers and sisters, listening to this message, aren't you glad that you are in the city of refuge? Amen. And you're finding the Lord Jesus Christ in all of these things. He has never failed. Then quickly, there is Ramoth in Gilead. Ramoth means high place in Joshua 20 and verse 8. Out of the tribe of Gad, located on the east side of the Jordan, in the middle of the land. And praise God, when you come to the Lord Jesus Christ, the psalmist said in Psalm 40, he hath brought me up out of a horrible pit. Out of the miry clay, he has set my feet upon a rock. He has established my going. He has put a new song in my mouth. My friend, tonight, if you're here without Christ, listen, you don't know what you're missing. I pray tonight that you'll really realize what you're missing because you want to stay in your sin. Not only are you staying in your sin and your misery, but each day you're taking one step closer to eternity. Another song we sang tonight, I praise God for the singing, the songs tonight, particularly the congregation songs and the special music. That second song said we have to be in time. Be in time. There's some of you listening to my voice and you have put off your salvation of your soul. You keep putting it off. You keep putting it off. And one of these days you're going to put it off for the last time. Death will come. You'll be ushered from time into eternity. And you'll be gone. And then it'll be too late. You'll cry like the book of Jeremiah says. The people cried, the harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. Oh, come, friend, tonight to be elevated to that place of elevation. The Lord Jesus will lift you up out of the miry clay. Praise God, he'll deliver you. He says, if the Son, therefore, shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. You know some of the things the Bible says in Ephesians 1? He has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus. He has raised us up and seated us together in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus. Oh, I'm excited about this Christian faith. I'm excited about the salvation the Lord is offering. And that's why he's offering it to, friend, tonight. But finally, there's a sixth one, golden. Golden suggester means joy or circle of rejoicing. Circle of rejoicing. Golden in Bashan, of Bashan of the tribe of Manasseh. Well, I want to tell you something. If there's someone here tonight, you will accept the Lord Jesus Christ. Or if you're listening by radio, you'll call someone. If you accepted Christ, you need to. I want to tell you, first of all, there's going to be rejoicing in your own heart. I've seen folk shed tears of repentance and then they accepted Christ and the tears of joy. Secondly, there's going to be joy in the presence of the angels of God. But I want to tell you something, there's going to be joy among God's people as well. I know nothing that excites God's people is to see someone accepting the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, I think that's the most exciting thing. Oh, that we could have that excitement and joy tonight. Joy! Praise God. And I want to tell you something else, friend. The Bible tells us that when we accept the Lord Jesus Christ, we have joy in our hearts. We can say like the words of Nehemiah, in no matter what our circumstances are, the joy of the Lord is my strength. We can sing like the Apostle Paul and Silas in the Philippian jail. Sing in the dark dungeon with their backs beaten and torn with the scourge, their feet in the stocks, perhaps their hands manacled. And what did they do? Did they grumble and complain? No, they sang praises to God, prayed and sang praises to God. And the prisoners heard them. Joy. Oh, will you have that joy, my friend? What a divine provision. Oh, praise God. But what's the divine picture? I have been speaking of this right along. You see, there are only six cities of refuge. Six is the number of man. And in the cities of refuge, there were inequities sometimes. Mistakes were made, all right? But I want to say upon the authority of God's word, and I make no apologies for saying it, if you come to the seventh city, the six cities of refuge point to number seven, as it were, or the perfect one, the Lord Jesus Christ. There are no inequities and no mistakes are made. And if you come to him, you will discover that all of the other six are found, all of the things that they refer to and they are examples of will be found in the Lord Jesus Christ. There are no inequities with him. In fact, he says, I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You know, the Lord Jesus doesn't say, I am a way. He says, I am the way. And I like the illustration that has been used so many times. You may be visiting a strange area, and you meet someone, and you say, can you direct me, or can you tell me the way to? And you tell them the place. Now, some people may say, well, you know, they give you directions. But the person says, if you don't mind, let me take you there. You see, they are not showing you the way. They're going to take you there. That's what the Lord Jesus is saying. I am the way. I am going to take you there. I'm not going to show you the way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. The Lord Jesus said, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Oh, my friend, tonight I say to you, praise God. I want to point you to the city of refuge, place that I have come and found in him my shelter, my protection, my joy, my strength, my life. Oh, friend, if you come to him, you'll never be disappointed. You will find that he keeps his promises. You will find that the avenger, the devil, cannot touch you there because the Lord Jesus is protecting you. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews, the second chapter, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, so Christ also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that has the power of death, that is the devil, and to deliver those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Refuge is found in him. He has defeated Satan. When the Lord Jesus hung on the cross of Calvary, the devil thought he had won the battle or won the war. He may have won that one, but it didn't last for long. For the third day, the Lord Jesus arose from the dead, and Satan is a defeated foe. And there's refuge in the Lord Jesus Christ. You won't find refuge in the pleasures of sin. You will not find refuge, my friends, in the things of this life. For the Lord Jesus himself said, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things he possesses. And he also said, for what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? I want to point you again tonight to the city of refuge, the city of refuge, the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus says in his word, he says, come unto me all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. The prophet Isaiah could say to the nation of Israel, to the Lord speaking through the prophet Isaiah to the nation of Israel. He says, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. My friend, I want to ask you tonight, have you entered the city of refuge? The Lord Jesus Christ. I close with an illustration from the book of 2 Samuel, the third chapter. There was a man by the name of Abner. He was the general of King Saul, and then When Saul died, he tried to prop up Saul's son Ishbosheth. But finally, Abner came over to King David, who was the rightful king. Came and met him. Earlier, the general of David's army, Joab, his younger brother, Asahel, was pursuing Abner. And he kept saying to him, "Young man, I'm a man of war, leave me alone." But you know, that young fellow wanted to be a hero. And all Abner, the general of Saul's army, just let the blunt end of his spear stick out, and Asahel ran into it, and he died. Well, you see, under the law, Joab became the avenger of blood. And Joab wanted him. Now, where did Abner come? He came to the city of refuge, Hebron. That's where David was. And if he would have stayed in the city, he would have been safe. He went back to finalize the arrangement. Joab came back, and Joab sent for him. Abner should have known better, but he didn't know. He didn't stop to think. He came back to Hebron, and the Bible says that Joab murdered him in the gate, or at the gate of the city. He was not in Hebron. If he'd have made one step, two steps in the city, Joab could not have touched him. But he was not in the city, and he died. And that's when David cried at his funeral. He says, "Died Abner as a fool dieth. Your hands were not bound. Your feet were not in fetters. You died as a foolish man." Why? Because he was only a step from the city of refuge. But he was not inside the city. And I must close with a word of warning. There are some people who have come so close to the city of refuge, the Lord Jesus. They have been just one step away, and they have not stepped inside. My friend, as long as you stay outside of Christ, as long as you're in your sin, you are in danger. You are in mortal danger. I beg of you tonight to make that step. To step into the Lord Jesus Christ. To receive Him by faith. To enter the city of refuge. And be saved. The Bible says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." The Lord Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word, believeth him that sent me, hath everlasting life, shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." You can step out of your sin tonight and come to the Lord Jesus, and you'll be out of a state of spiritual death into a state of spiritual life. You'll be in the city of refuge, and you'll be able to go on your way rejoicing, enjoying the beauties of the Savior. Enjoying the blessing seen in the six cities of refuge as they picture the Lord Jesus, and enjoying every one of them. Now I close with a question. Are you willing tonight to take that step? Are you willing to take that step, my friend? Step into Christ. Only a step to Jesus, says the hymn 273. 273 in our redemption songs is only a step to Jesus. Then, why not take it now? Come, and your sin confessing, come, receive him, to him thy Savior bow. Only a step. Only a step. Then why not take it now? Will you come to him, my friend? Before we sing this hymn, I'm going to close in prayer. But I wonder tonight if there's someone here, God has spoken to your heart. You've been at the gate of the city of refuge. You've almost stepped inside. My friend, tonight, would you step over the line? Will you step inside the city? Will you come to the Lord Jesus? Perhaps listening on the radio tonight, God has spoken to your heart. You're in your home. Will you step tonight into the city of refuge, the Lord Jesus? Will you come to him? Will you believe him? Will you receive him? We'd love to hear from you, to know you've done this. Our Father, we thank you for the beautiful message of the gospel as seen in these cities of refuge. And we thank thee, our Father, that every one of them points
to the city of refuge, where there is joy, salvation, peace, where there is security and safety. Oh God, we pray tonight that those who have not yet accepted the Lord Jesus as their personal Savior, oh, our Father, we ask tonight that they will make that step from sin into Christ, from death unto life. Oh, save precious souls, Lord, in this land tonight, we pray, in this congregation. Move in our midst, Lord. And may tonight this be a night of salvation for many. Give them the courage, Lord, to put aside all of the foolish things the devil's putting in their mind and to say, I'm making that step now. May they do this, Father. We pray as we ask these things in Jesus' precious, precious, precious name. Amen. Amen. I'm going to stand as we sing. And I'm going to do something I don't normally do, but not often. But if tonight God has spoken to your heart and you want to make that step at a public confession, walk down the aisle. Oh, it's going to take courage. But I can guarantee you, you start to walk, there's going to be some Christian brother or sister who's going to walk with you. To step up with you, come tonight. God has spoken to your heart listening to this message. You come. Let somebody know. Give someone a call. I want to make that step. Well, I've made that step. Oh, it'll be joy. There'll be joy. Come as we sing. 273.